Hello and welcome back to the My First Marathon podcast. My name is Taylor and today I'm joined by a runner who has 3 marathons and 6 half marathons under his belt. We dive into his first marathon experience at a local race, his second marathon experience at the New York City Marathon, and a little bit of his third marathon experience, which was also a local race to the North Carolina area. I'm excited to dive right into his experience for the second and third time around and what changed for him from his first marathon. So without further ado, please welcome Tony. Well, Tony, thank you so much for spending some time with me today. Really excited to talk to you. How's your weekend going?
Going good. Going really well. Join the weekends. It's going to be over before you know it. I'm back to work.
Yep. What day of the run streak are you on right now?
Today is 179.
Nice. Getting closer to 200. That's awesome. That's awesome. Cool. Well, I'm excited to break down your first marathon experience. We're both North Carolina, living in North Carolina. I've also ran the race that you ran your first marathon at. So excited to break that down. But before we get there, I'm just kind of curious where you got started with running in the first place.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I started running in 2016, just out of nowhere. That 4th of July weekend, I actually had a little health scare. Nothing serious, but just had, I guess, an infection or something with my throat, just closed up. I couldn't swallow, couldn't eat, couldn't drink, had a high fever, went to urgent care and ended up going to the hospital. And actually went from Clayton Hospital and they took me to Raleigh Hospital. And it was pretty scary. Spent the night there. Gave me, the good steroids or whatever to clear everything up, but it was bad. I just barely could breathe, just couldn't swallow, and it was so bad that when you go to the dentist, they give you that thing to suck the saliva out.
Yeah.
They gave me one of those, and I was just a mess. So at that moment, I was like, just get active, get healthy, and I was already in good shape, but it was just, hey, I'm not getting any younger. Let's take care of myself. So I started running. I did a mile at the high school track here, and ever since then, just started running.
Yeah, that's great. So, kind of a scary way to fall into it, but I think there's always a reason why we start running. It's usually not just coming out of nowhere. So that makes a lot of sense. So then from there, when did you start? Because I know you've ran a couple of races. When did you start thinking, all right, let me try out the race side of things?
Yeah, the crazy thing is I didn't even realize, we had races for us to sign up. I knew there was marathons. Right. I grew up, watching the New York City Marathon on TV when I lived in New Jersey. So I knew there was races out there, but never really thought of finding one for me to sign up and join. So I looked up and I saw City of Oaks, they had their 10K, 5K, half and full. I ended up doing the 10K that year. And just from that moment, I just was like, yeah, this is it. I'm going to do a half next. I think it was 2016 did the 5K. That April when the Rock and Roll series was here in Raleigh.
Yeah.
Did a half marathon. And from there, I just knew, hey, I'm going to be doing the marathon after that.
Yeah, you were hooked.
It's kind of like that, you get the itch and the bug for it and you just want to do more.
Sure. What do you think, I guess, besides the races, what do you think really hooked you about running that made you want to keep doing it?
It's just the atmosphere, of a race. When you're there, you have the crowd of people that you're running along with and the crowds that are there cheering and on. It's just the atmosphere that you enjoy. And then at that time, I was, competitive with myself, trying to go as fast as I can.
Sure.
Try to beat my previous times, which was probably not the smartest thing to do. But, you live and learn from it.
Yeah, there's a healthy amount of internal competition, I feel like, that you can hit.
Yes.
Cool. So kind of dabbled in the 10K world and then immediately we're thinking, all right, let me do the half and potentially the full. If you remember, what was training like going from your first 10K to your first half marathon?
Well, living in my neighborhood, tons of hills. So it was pretty brutal. Every day I just ran in my neighborhood, which I totally regret. I wish I would find somewhere a little bit more flat to train on. So I probably didn't have the best training, to be honest, but I was going out, 3-4 times a day and each weekend increasing, my long runs. Started out Gosh, when I really started running at the first year, once you hit that 10-mile mark and just continuing increasing it from there, I would say I was probably doing 20, 25 miles a week, initially, which is fine. Everyone's a little bit different, but I think I went out maybe a little too hard in the beginning, which kind of caused future injuries, especially after that first marathon.
Yeah, that's a common experience for sure. Just you just don't know a lot in the beginning, and like you said, you get hooked on it really early on, and you just want to push yourself and see what you're capable of. So I think that's a pretty common experience for sure. Were you following any sort of training plan to get to a half marathon, or were you mostly just kind of doing your own thing?
Yeah, I believe it was Hal Higgin plan that I was looking up. But really, I think I've just followed similar plan, my entire, running time here over the past, what was it, 7, 8 years now, where you just gradually increase the mileage. 3 miles during the week, and then the weekends I was hitting, the longer runs, 8 to 10 miles. And of course, depending on if I'm doing a half marathon or the full, would definitely be determined, the difference.
Yeah, that makes sense. Cool. So your first how you complete your first half marathon, and did you immediately sign up for your full like directly after that, or when did you make that decision?
Yes. So the half was in April 2017, and gosh, I think I might have signed up in May or June. I think I started signing up because I know I started my training in June. So yeah, it was practically immediately I signed up for the City of Oaks.
So from there, were you still gonna planning on following kind of the Hal Higdon plan, or
I
just
did.
building distance slowly? For the
Yeah,
marathon distance.
definitely did. And at that time of my life, work was real busy. So I don't feel like I was following that plan as I should have. There was days where you get in your head and you're like, you know what? I'll take a rest today and I'll go out tomorrow and I'll make up the mileage that day. So I had the plan and I had it all mapped up. I had it on a spreadsheet, printed it out. I actually even have, one from right here from last time that I just would look at every single day. And then you have it right in front of you and you visualize it and you see it, but you just get with yourself and life gets in the way and you miss days. And I definitely did that. There was days where I should have done 5 miles and I only did two. So I did not have the best training that first time. Maybe, it showed in my results, but again, the hills here are just brutal. And that summer is pretty rough.
Yeah, I was gonna
The
say
humidity, I was going
the
out
timing.
also. Yeah, 9 a.m. I would go out, 8 a.m. You need to go out at 5, 6 in the morning and be finished by 8 o'clock.
It's tough to fit in, and especially when you've got, I'm sure, family and you've got work that you're working on, of course. It's hard to find time to marathon train, especially the longer runs. It's a dedication. So how did you adjust throughout? I know you said that there was times where you'd maybe make up the miles on another day, but what did you do to adjust on the days or the weeks that you felt like maybe you weren't able to follow the plan to a T?
Definitely made it up on the weekends. I was always consistent with my weekends and my long runs. During the week, sometimes we work in 12, 14 hours a day. Work was just really busy. And then if you don't get out in the morning, here it is 8 o'clock at night, and then you got dinner and then family and all that. It's just not enough time. So I would always make it up on the weekend and I would hit my long runs consistently. The 12, 14, going up to 16 and 20. I was always hitting those numbers, so I feel like I was able to, make it up on the weekends for sure.
And was 20 your longest one that you did through
Yes.
for your training cycle? Okay,
Yeah,
cool.
definitely did 20 at marathon pace, which I probably should have taken easier that time. But yeah, I was hitting them and it definitely worked out for me. I was, ready to go for race day.
Where do you feel like how long was your training block? Was it like a 16-week training plan or longer?
I did 20. I had 20
20.
weeks.
Okay. Cool. Cool. So you gave yourself
Started,
plenty of time.
I think first or second week of June, I started.
Yeah, that's plenty of time. So
Oh,
throughout
yeah.
that, when do you feel like, or where do you feel like your high points were of training, and where were maybe some of the lower points that you experienced?
I remember 4th of July week was definitely a low point. That was actually where the humidity really kicked up here. And I went out for 4 miles on I think it was a Sunday I did. And it was just brutal. That was probably the worst week I had in running, just the heat. You got to get used to it. Once that humidity kicks in, you got to slow things down. That heart rate increases. You got to take your walk breaks. Everyone, like I said, is different. Their bodies are a little bit different in how they adjust to the heat and humidity and heart rates. So yeah, that was brutal. And then taking it from there, learning from that experience, helped me the rest of the summer.
I saw a post today actually, just as a reminder to, if you live in a climate where things are really heating up right now, that you're going to run, or don't to not expect your winter pace, and to not push yourself to your winter pace. It's going to be a good 20 to 30 seconds slower to start and build your way back up. It's always a good reminder, because that's something that I forget too, is that you're not going to be able to perform the same way that you were performing all winter, which is a shame,
That's
but
what
it comes
even
back.
today. It's still not as humid as it's going to be, but today, I was taking walk breaks, keeping that heart rate down, in the 120s, 130s, but gosh, back then I was always 170s, 180s. So learning from those mistakes, taking it easy and slow will help you survive the summers here.
Definitely. And then when do you feel like you were feeling the best through training? Like it was it
Gosh.
towards the beginning, towards the end?
I don't really remember. I feel like, gosh, such a long time ago. We're talking about 2016. I feel like it was such a blur, to be honest. Like I said, the entire time is really just the weekends. Those long runs were always feeling good when it was happening. And then, of course, the rest of the day you're tired and want to just nap. But yeah, I really can't remember, to be exact. Such a long time ago.
It's funny how you remember the challenges, but you don't always remember the successful parts. You assume if you made it through the marathon that probably something in there felt good, but it is funny how it works out that way. So if you remember then, what was the strategy kind of leading up? Did you do the I guess the week before your marathon, do you remember doing any sort of carb loading on the nutrition side, taper period? What was all that like for you?
Yeah, definitely the last 2 weeks. So I remember from weeks 18 through 20, took the mileage down, definitely rested, kept the legs fresh, definitely ate a lot of carbs. So probably big on pizza, if I remember correctly. Probably had a lot of pizza and pasta beforehand, and just hydrating, those final 2 days before the race.
And the day before, so I've heard kind of opposite opinions. Either you're feeling completely calm, you feel ready, you're good to go, or you're a pile of nerves. What category do you feel like you
Gosh,
fit into?
probably a little bit of everything. Like I remember always having the nightmares and dreams of either waking up late or you arrive to the race and you're on the course and you get lost. Those were definitely some fears I remember having, going into the race. But now that I've experienced it, I haven't had those, dreams or thoughts, and I'm able to sleep through the night. But definitely that night before, you try to go to bed at 8 o'clock, but you can't. And then you go to bed, maybe it's 10, 11 o'clock, and you're waking up every hour before you know it. It's 4 a.m. and you're waking up. So I think, having a lack of sleep, and I'm sure you experience this, you're still fresh when you wake up. You have your coffee and you're ready to go. So I don't think it really gets in the way of not being able to perform on race day.
But it is tough the night before for your first one. It's a lot of unknown. I don't know if you felt this way, but for me, the scariest part was that I had only ran 20 miles, so there was a whole 6 mile block that I wasn't gonna know what to do with, I think that causes a lot of stress, but definitely not the most restful night, that's for sure. Cool. So race day, walk us through the experience. So you said that you were up at 4. I'm assuming you had to catch maybe some sort of shuttle or something like that. What was race day like for you?
So, did we have a shuttle? I don't think we had a shuttle at that one, but I remember waking up, you have your coffee. I think I had a yogurt banana in the morning, didn't eat too much. It was a very chilly morning. I believe it was 36 degrees that morning, and it was our coldest morning we've had all fall. So I remember freezing that morning, just shaking and the nerves and all that. But it was definitely needed. You don't want to have that heat and humidity on race day. So we got lucky. It definitely was a very cool morning, cloudy. So it was perfect conditions, for race day. And I went into that, remembering my half marathon time, and that half marathon I had that spring was my fastest one ever. I was like 209. So in my head, I'm thinking, oh yeah, I'm gonna get like a 4:30 marathon. And I set these expectations so high. And I'm like, yeah, weather's perfect, everything's in my favor. I got new shoes, I got fitted at a local run store in Raleigh. So I'm like, yeah, I'm ready, I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna get like 4:30. And yeah, that quickly changed
As it
a
does.
couple hours later. Yeah.
So what was I feel like there's three races within a marathon. It's like race to 13 and then get to 20 and then you've got the last six. So what were the first 13 like for you?
I would say the first, actually, I'll break it down. Maybe the first 10K was awesome. Everything was going well, going out perfect pace. Gonna hit that 4:30 mark. And then as I got to the half marathon, I remember looking at my watch and it was 2:30 for the half. So I was definitely over my time from that spring, but it was just brutal, I would think, from 10 to 13. That's where my pace really started slowing down. And then knowing that the hills are going to be coming up and just kind of getting in my head, whereas just everything just started falling apart. But the first six were great, and then from six on, slowly was diminishing for that race.
And you said you felt like it was because, like, that 6 to 10 mark, you felt like it was because you were almost preparing for the hills, like conserving energy or something like that.
Well, I definitely went out too fast in the beginning, but I felt great. I was hitting those times in training, on the long runs in the weekend, but just the hills in Raleigh are brutal, and that's a tough race. It's got a higher elevation than New York, and New York's one of the out of the majors is one of the toughest marathons, they say. And City of Oaks is definitely, I think it's like 300, 400 extra feet of elevation compared to New York. So it's not an easy one, especially if it's your first one you're doing. Yeah, you have your work cut out.
It's stuff that's crazy to think about. I actually didn't know that compared to New York that it was that much of a higher elevation jump. That's pretty crazy.
Yeah, it is.
But I believe it because all the hills, like you said, the first what third? Yeah, I would even I only ran the half, so I would say the first six or seven, I would agree, was pretty manageable, pretty flat. And then you started to kind of see the hills in the distance, and you're like, oh boy, here we go. Got it. So when you hit the hills, what was the strategy? Were you doing kind of a run walk thing? Did you blow right
Oh
through
yeah.
them?
No, I was walking the hills. Absolutely walking the hills. There was a point, I think, after miles 16, 15, 16, it might have been, where you're going downhill. And it's an out and back. So when you're going downhill and it's a steep downhill, you're like, I have to run back up that. So that also got in my head, knowing I had to come back up that. And I think it might have been around mile 21, 22, where you're going back up. So that's just knowing, not knowing that going into it kind of really just messed me up mentally. I was not prepared for it, but I walked. I knew my goal was not going to be hit. So now my new goal is hit 5 hours. And then it turned into just finishing. But that point when you get there around mile 17 to 20 is just messes with you. It
Yeah,
really
you learn a
does.
lot about yourself during that
You
time.
do.
It's pretty crazy.
There's only so much research you could do. I researched the race. You look at the you look at any race and it gives you the little line graph, and then you look at it, okay, well, if this is at 500, then it goes to 600, and you see the line going up. You think you're prepared for it, but it just never is what I think you visually look at. So I think maybe going out and running that course probably would have been the best thing for me to do to know what I was getting into.
There's really no other way to go about it besides just doing it once and knowing where all those points are. I think it's really hard to look at the map and really kind of wrap your head around what it's actually going to be like for sure. Cool. So you hit the hills, you said at like mile th 13 or so. What was the rest of the race like from there?
I was walking. I did a lot of walking. I know once it was at mile 22 to the finish, there was just probably walking of, I was doing 15 minute paces, 16 minute at that point. And early on was always, 10, 9, 10, 11, but I was just walking. I knew I got to finish. I'm not gonna I'm not gonna hit that cutoff time and get a DNF my first race. I wanna finish. So I was like, if I'm going to finish, I have to walk.
Right.
So I accepted it. I was just there to finish and experience it.
Yeah. That's good that you were able to shift your mindset partway through twice, really. You had your mm-hmm. original goal, and then you were like, okay, maybe I'll hit this other goal. And then you were like, all right, let me just finish this thing. But I got some great advice on my race day, that your first one, you're going to PR no matter what.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
I guess that's the beauty of the first, uh-huh. Getting the first one out of the way. You live and you learn.
Yes. Yeah, definitely got a PR that day.
Yep, for sure, for sure. So what was the finish line like for you? Did you have that feeling of oh my God, I just did this thing? Or was it more so like a disappointment in the goals? You know, what was it like?
No, I wouldn't say disappointment. You know, I think, you know, towards the end of that race, I already knew. I got that out. I'm not going to hit my goals.
Right.
Finishing was the number one goal at that point. And just the emotions, you know, anytime I get very emotional at every race as I finish, you know, the tears come on and all that. So I had my family there. They came and drove up. They were there at the finish line, and I ran in with my son. He at the time was he 4 at the time or 3? So I ran in with him. The crowds
awesome.
Were gone. There was nobody there. All you had was the volunteers at the finish line. But it was just my family, my wife, my 2 kids, and ran in. It was definitely very emotional and rewarding. You know, at that point, you know, all the hard work, even though I didn't probably train consistently during the week, you know, all that hard work that you do, you know, it pays off, and it's just a very rewarding, you know, experience.
Definitely. Yeah. No matter what the result is, it's the feeling is unreal. And you didn't need spectators. You had your whole family there. That's
exactly.
The most important, the most important piece is to have your crew with you at the end. That's cool. That's so sweet too, that your son got to run the last little bit with you.
Yes.
I'm sure that was, the pictures were great.
Yes.
Awesome.
Yeah. He doesn't remember. I showed them the video. I had, I actually recorded the entire race.
Oh, wow.
And he doesn't even remember. He's like, that was me. Yeah. And I was like, yeah, that was you.
But such a good example to set for your kids. I was just talking to, you know, another runner who, obviously she had a lot of goals set out for to set an example for her kids, for her son. She gives her medal to her kid at the end of every race. So it's cool that you got to share that with him, whether he remembers it or not. You have this video that he'll always be able to look back on and say, you know, he got to have that experience with you. That's great. Cool. So what do you feel like now that you've done a couple of other ones, and I want to kind of get into those as well, but what do you feel like you learned the most from your first marathon experience?
Just take it easy. I don't worry about pace anymore. Just go slow, finish, enjoy the moment, enjoy the race, enjoy, you know, as I think New Balance slogan is, you know, run your way. It's just me. Just run my race. Don't go out fast, and take it easy. Especially to avoid injuries, because after that marathon, I wasn't the same. I think it was the shoes. I'm not gonna say the running store that's local that fitted me, but yeah, they were not the right shoes for me. So taking it easy ever since then. I did not run really as much for the following 2-3 years after that.
Okay.
You know, kind of taking a step back drastically, took the mileage down. I think I was running with an Achilles injury after that race, and then kind of took time off, and then got back into it last year. So definitely I've learned since I've started running again is just take it easy and slow. And even though I am doing a run streak, I'm not out here going fast all the time. You know,
right.
I might have one fast day where I hit like a sub 10 minute miles for like a 5K distance, but I'm generally just going 11 to 12 minute miles now. And just taking it easy and enjoying it, keeping our heart rate down and having fun.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great. Everybody's goals are different. So everybody's, what a good run is, I feel like the definition is different depending on what your goals are. So that's great.
And you're just miserable and hating it and wishing it's over. You know, you're not having fun. You're doing it wrong. You know, you gotta be out there having fun, smiling, and then you know you're doing it right. So I've definitely taken those experiences from the past where I failed, and now I'm turning into a win.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. So in that 2-year period where you were sort of in between running, I know you said you maintained, you were doing a little bit of running in between, but what were you doing to keep yourself kind of focused, I guess, through that time?
Gosh, That turned into, what was it, like the COVID time when,
Oh,
everything
yeah.
went shut down. That's when I really stopped running while everyone else took in running.
Right, right.
So yeah, running was just not existent at all for me for a good year at that period, year and a half. So yeah, it wasn't even a thought. Now every single day I wake up thinking about running, go to sleep thinking about running, you're dreaming
Yeah.
about running. There was nothing. Running was not a part of my life at all. And just one day I just was like, you know what, I'm gonna get back into it, but I have to
Yeah.
sign up for a race because it just, for some reason, that motivates you to go out there and do it.
Yeah.
So yeah, just it wasn't part of my life, but I'm glad it
Yep.
is now.
Yeah. Yeah, and why do you think that was? Do you think it was due to the injury? You got a little like out of the routine? Is that what you contributed to the
Yeah, definitely.
most?
I would say, yeah, I would say it's the injury. Knowing that I needed to stop running for it to heal,
Yeah.
definitely, kind of took everything out of me. But yeah, getting back into it is definitely not easy. It's not
Sure.
easy. It's like starting all over. It's not like riding a bike. They say once you learn how to ride a bike, you're always gonna. Starting over fresh was definitely harder than the first time I ran back in 2016.
Really? Wow.
Yeah,
So
it was definitely harder this time.
Yeah, and what was that like building back up to the point where you were before?
Yeah, I started last April is when I started building back up. Did a mile, 2 miles, and I just was consistently doing a mile or two, then eventually doing 5Ks. But I was taking it slow, and easy, but it was a struggle. I wasn't out there smiling and having fun. I hated it. But I knew, I was going to be running New York City that November. So that was my motivation to keep on going. And I think going out easy and slow, that first month in April definitely helped me, get to the fitness level that I am now. And it
Yeah.
actually just turned on. I would say immediately after that first month, I'm going nice and easy. Everything just clicked. It was like I was back to how I was, a couple years ago.
Yeah. Wow. So you pulled the lottery for New York that before you had started kind of getting back into it, or was that after you had
No,
started running?
unfortunately, it did not get the lottery. No,
Oh,
I ended up
dang.
going with charity.
Oh, okay.
I tried for the lottery, and I was like, if I don't get the lottery, I'm definitely doing charity.
Yeah.
There's two charities I wanted to run for. The first one I did not get in, but the second one I chose Boomer Esiason Foundation with Team Boomer for those with cystic fibrosis. So I remember there was a classmate in high school that had that, and she ended up passing away. So I ended up, I was like, I actually was very familiar with Boomer's foundation from his radio show. I listened to WFAN in New York, since I used to live in New Jersey. So
Yeah.
I heard of his foundation and knowing someone that had cystic fibrosis, like, you know what, I'm gonna run with them. Signed up, and I was like, yeah, I'm definitely doing this. So I was out there ready to go.
Yeah. I'm the same way. I have to have a race on the calendar to really kind of wrap my head around
Yeah.
what my training cycle is going to be like. I power to the people that can go out there and run for fun without a race on the calendar, but I'm the same way. It helps a lot with the internal motivation to have something that you're dedicating time to and can kind of block
Yes.
out your time for. But that's great. So what was the different training for the New York Marathon to training for your first marathon in Raleigh?
I didn't run in my neighborhood as much. I stayed away from the
Avoided
hills.
the
I
hills.
did. I think I might have done maybe once a week. I would go in my neighborhood and run the hills, if
Yeah.
that. But it was always on the Greenway on Neuse River over through Clayton and Raleigh. I would always just run that, and it's nice and flat. And then I would go downtown in Clayton. We have Main Street is nice and flat. There's some hills, but I generally was always running out on the trail on the Greenway, taking it nice and easy and avoiding the hills, because it takes a lot out of you. My first
Definitely.
mile in my neighborhood is over 100 feet. For those ultra runners, probably thinking, oh, 100 feet's nothing, but 100
Right.
feet the first mile, consistently, it's not. It takes a lot out of you. So I
Yeah.
think just going on flat surfaces has helped me that entire summer.
Yeah. Yeah, probably helped just not hate running a little bit in the beginning too, avoiding the hills, just something to get you back into it. So what were you following the same type of training plan as you did before, like at the Hal Higdon slow progression to build up miles, that kind of thing the second time around?
Yeah, definitely follow that same plan. But this time, you know, I increased my mileage. Mm-hmm. I know the first training block, I think the entire time I did 400 miles, the entire training block. And this year, or this past year, I was about 550. So I definitely significantly increased my mileage weekly. I was always hitting, gosh, at least since July, 100 miles per month. And then that first training block that I had for the first marathon, I hit 100 in October. So only once through the entire training plan. So it was more consistent. This go around, and I had more time, you know, a different job. I'm not sitting there working 12, 14 hours a week, and I work from home. So virtual, you know, work from home definitely helps with training. You know, sometimes you can go out instead of taking a lunch break, and, you know, when you're typically out of office and you're having lunch, you can go out for a run. Right. So that definitely helped as well.
Right. Yeah, definitely with consistency for sure. So you mentioned the second time around you were, well, the first time around you said that you had that injury. So second time around, what were you doing to kind of help prevent injury? I guess, was it like the slower progression, or were you doing anything outside of that?
Shoes, better shoes.
Yeah.
I have weird feet. So for me, it's tough to find, you know, a good pair of shoes. And that's why, you know, I don't want to bash the running store, but even back then, shoes aren't what they are now. You know, they got these super shoes. They're totally different from, you know, 2016 to 2018. Shoes have changed a lot. So I solely wear New Balance right now. They come in wide. I have both feet are wide, but I have one foot that's bigger than the other. Mm. So it was always really difficult for me to find a good pair of shoes. So investing in shoes made a huge difference in my training. You know, I was never sore the next day. I remember my first training block, I could barely walk up and down the stairs, you know, on the weekends. I was sore. Now I'm perfectly fine. You know, the shoes definitely help with recovery greatly. So I know some people say, you know, you don't need expensive shoes. Everyone's different. For me, I'm going to spend the money, and I'm very, very frugal. I'm cheap. I don't like to spend money. That's my wife. I like to save. So I'll spend $200-$250 on a good pair of shoes and feel great, you know, after my runs.
Yeah, I do think it's worth it for some people. And maybe that's a good point too. I'm sure the technology between 2016 to now, probably a lot better for what experience you could get at a running store like you probably went to. But it might also be good just to get a second opinion. There's so many local running stores out there who will measure your feet for free and offer you a few options. So it might be good just to get a second opinion potentially. But yeah, it's crazy how much shoes impact your training experience, and getting the right pair of shoes can really help. And to your point, you don't need to invest in anything too crazy early on, but I would definitely invest in a pair of shoes early on. That's something that I've wished that I did too, just to avoid injury.
You know, if anyone's just out there running, you know, 5Ks or even a mile, you know, you can get away without having to spend a lot of money on shoes. But if you're taking it serious and getting to the half marathon and marathons, I highly recommend people investing in a good pair of shoes. Spend the money. I know I see some people out there online that talk, and they're trying to find the most affordable, and trust me, I get it. But if you're really going to take that route and sign up for the races, got to spend the money.
Yeah.
You need to. Your feet will thank you for it.
Your feet, your knees, your everything, your joints, everything. Yeah. Totally. So what about fuel through all that, through your site? I didn't really ask about that for the first one, but were you playing around with different gels, with different fuel options when you were training for the New York Marathon?
For the first one, did not, I would say my nutrition and fueling wasn't great. Second one was drastically different. Had the goos the first time. I always have salted caramel goo was my go-to choice. During training and race day. But the second time, I didn't really do anything with goos, but definitely hydrated a lot better constantly, especially in the summer here. The first time I would just drink water. Second time go around noon and element. constantly be drinking that, even day and
Yeah.
night, you know, probably too much, but that the hydration was key the second time.
Yeah. Could you tell a difference when you would hydrate versus when you couldn't or
Oh
when you
yeah.
wouldn't?
Oh yeah. Absolutely. Even the first time, I would just drink water, but then going out on runs and, you know, sometimes I'll bring a Gatorade the first time and I noticed a huge difference in my performance, you know, going out there. So hydration is key. You know, I was very uneducated in my first year of running. I just
Yeah.
went out there and started doing it. And, you know, over the years and learning from those mistakes, you know, that second time, that second training block for the marathon, everything was just completely different.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you learn a lot by trial and error for sure. So I guess same question as for the first marathon, when you got to your taper period, was the strategy different? Did you do anything that was, out of the norm from what you did the first time around for that 2 weeks leading up to your second marathon?
Yeah, the final week definitely, you know, had a taper. I think I was only doing a mile to three a day. I had my travel day for New York was Wednesday. So I didn't do anything Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday, but then Friday and Saturday, you know, went for all the shakeout runs and I was doing just 3 miles both days. But I definitely tapered down big time with the travel.
Yeah. So to did your taper period, did you carb load the second time around as well?
Oh gosh, in New York, food is so expensive. Oh, I
Yeah.
tell you,
Yeah.
not as well as I should have.
Sure.
Luckily, I did go out to Carmine's Italian restaurant there, and they loaded up. I got a ziti, and it
Nice.
was a huge plate. I honestly had that the entire weekend, but that's
Yeah.
all I pretty much had with carbs. I would say the entire weekend that and bread, but not as much as the first time when I was at
Yeah.
home because. Man, New York, I was shocked at how expensive everything is
It's
there.
very expensive.
That
Yeah.
weekend, I remember we went into a little corner store and a bag of frozen broccoli was like $12 for a pound of broccoli.
Crazy.
I was like, geez. So yeah, I definitely did not didn't eat as much as I would have normally if I was home.
Yeah. Do you feel like that impacted you in any way since you had really took it serious the second time around? Yeah. And I
No,
only ask
I don't
because
think it did.
Okay. Yeah, and I ask because I get that question a lot on should I carb load? Should I not carb load? Does it make that big of a difference? I think it's just it depends. I think it can't hurt you necessarily, but
Oh
like you
yeah.
said, it just depends on what you have the resources for.
Yeah, I don't think, you know, it's definitely needed. But I don't
Yeah.
think it was a drastic difference, you know, from the first one and the second one. You know, I wasn't counting my carbs or, you know, tracking my macros or anything like that. So I'm not entirely
Yeah.
sure how much I had both times, but it's definitely helpful.
Sure. Cool. So marathon day, and the New York Marathon cut a little bit of a different experience from the City of Oaks
Oh,
Marathon, I would say. But what was it
huge.
like? Because I haven't ran a major myself. So walk us through kind of what the New York Marathon experience was like for you.
Yes, that was honestly was one of the best days of my life. You know, waking up early. Actually, you know, you get to sleep in a little bit because the race doesn't start until 10 and 11 a.m. for the last two waves. So did get to sleep in. I slept into 6. Usually with the City of Oaks, I was already there at 6 a.m.,
Yeah,
you
probably
know, getting
starting by
ready.
then. Yeah.
But no, taking the subway down to downtown and then taking the ferry over to Staten Island was an experience. Just seeing the crowds, you know, just get off that last subway and going onto the ferry and then getting off is just an experience in itself. And then there was a what felt like an hour. You know, they take a shuttle bus. You're waiting in line for the shuttle to get into the starting line. Gosh, that was probably the worst part of the day, honestly, is that bus ride over. You know, you're just waiting, sitting through traffic, and finally, you know, you arrive at the starting line, going through security. You know, you get your Dunkin' Donuts was there giving out coffee and bagels to everybody before the race. So I grabbed that. You know, everyone, you know, using the porta potties and waiting in line and just taking everything in and just mentally focusing on you know, that start. But that initial, I would say, period of waiting and then walking over, it kind of just gives you time to mentally prepare for that start.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure it was unreal. Just the sheer amount of people. And then how long do you actually have to, like, once you everybody lines up for the start line, how long do you actually have to stand there and wait to get going?
So I ended up getting there at 10. I just missed wave four because people were like, oh, you could sneak into a wave and security's not going to notice. So I was like, oh, should I sneak into wave four? But I just missed the cutoff at like 5 minutes before they took off. I think they took off at 10:30. Mine was 11, so I just missed it. So I was there really, you know, that entire period, just standing around and waiting. But they and everything's the way they organize it. It's amazing how they do it. Mm-hmm. You know, I went through. You had to go through your section for your wave, and you're standing there, maybe 5-10 minutes, and everything's constantly moving. So it's just a well-oiled machine that they have. Yeah. Before you know it, you know, you're at that starting line, national anthems go in, and the gun goes off. But they do a great job on getting everybody from point A to the starting line. Well-oiled machine. Never seen anything like it. For the amount of runners, too. You know, you got 50,000 people going through that section the entire day, and no glitches or anything. It works out perfect.
Yeah, it's super impressive how they organize it, for sure. Mm-hmm. The logistics of the whole thing are pretty crazy. Yeah. But so what was, you know, break down the marathon. Where mm-hmm. were your best miles? Where did you feel like you were struggling the most? You know, what was the experience like?
I was flying. It was like I was on a cloud.
Yeah.
Those first few miles. They say you know, the first mile is kind of tough. I know, definitely better shoes. The first mile, you know, you're going over the bridge and everyone's like, that's going to be tough. I didn't even feel it at all. And it was similar to like how my neighborhood is, well over 100 feet that first mile.
Yeah.
And you can't even tell. You know, you just got the adrenaline flowing. And then before you know it, you're on top of the bridge and you're going downhill. And I took off, you know, that first 13 miles going through Brooklyn. You know, as soon as you get over the bridge, turn to the right, the crowds are cheering. You know, it's just so electric the entire time. And that's what kept me going. You know, the first 13 miles didn't even feel like I stopped at all. I was flying, joining the crowds. I was interacting with the crowds, just taking in the entire moment and the experience. And then slowly started getting tired. As things got quiet, I think it was around mile 15, the crowd started getting a little bit quieter in certain sections through Brooklyn. And then I noticed that would, you know, kind of decrease my pace, and I started getting a little bit exhausted and mentally not in the same stage as I was prior.
Yeah.
But that entire time really is just, you know, taking breaks if I needed, walking, hydrating the entire time at the aid stations. But just the crowds, that really is what keeps you going. Everyone's cheering for you. You have your name on your shirt. They're yelling your name. Actually, there was one guy that I thought I remember seeing. He's like, hey, what's going on? Like, I thought I knew him. And I thought it was one of my friends that that I met. He's a musician. And I went to one of his shows and I'm like, oh, that's what's his face? And I stopped and I'm like, hey, what's up? And he's acting like he knows me. And then I look and I'm like, wait, I don't know that guy. And he acted like he knew me, and I'm like, oh, this is not him. But like, that's just goes to show you like how everyone, they don't know who you are, and they're cheering for you and they're pushing you on. I actually thought I knew that guy, but didn't. But every single person, you know, you don't know who they are, and they're pushing for you and they're pulling for you and they're cheering, yelling your name. It was just the most exciting, you know, experience ever.
Yeah, that's so cool. I hope I can experience that one day, because that just sounds unreal.
It is like in the city of Oaks, you have that in a certain section.
Sure.
There's one section like that where the crowds are just everywhere and everyone's cheering. But once you go through that trail on the Greenway, it's just so quiet.
Yeah.
Even the last one I had in was it in January? I don't even remember when the last one was. February, was it? In Durham, where you're on Tobacco Road Trail.
It's
just quiet. It's just nobody out there. You don't have any spectators. And that crowd just pushes you through.
Yeah.
You need that.
Definitely. I'm sure you were just headphones out the whole time. Or did you have your headphones in for the New York marathon?
For New York, not at all. I didn't bring them for New York. Wasn't listening to any music. Just listened to the crowds. That's the music. That's all you need.
Yeah.
Is to hear them.
Are you normally on your long runs, or for City of Oaks, are you normally a music listener or podcast listener, or what's the strategy there?
Yeah, music, podcast, both of them. Definitely through City of Oaks, I had that on until my headphones died. I'll run with music now, definitely. Yeah. You know, every run I have something playing. But New York City, not at all. Was not going to sit
don't
there
need
and,
it.
You know, nope, you don't. You really don't. You know, anyone that has headphones on it in New York or Chicago or any major, you're missing out. You don't want to listen to the music.
Right.
My
right.
opinion.
Yeah, no, I haven't mm-hmm. done it, but I would agree with you. I don't know why you would want to block out that experience. You want to be, in it the whole time. But finish line feeling for that one. I'm sure that was a completely different experience to the City of Oaks. So what was that like?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure the emotions were high.
It was. You know, I was pushing. I knew at that point, you know, I wanted to get sub 5 hours was my goal. And I thought I was farther ahead based on my watch time. I was like, yeah, I got this by like 5 minutes. I'm good. And it was getting through Central Park was a little tough. You know, it gets very hilly in Central Park. And to finish like that after, you know, running a practically almost a marathon at that point, it was tough. But the crowds there again were too crowded. The crowd control, that was the worst part of the race in Central Park, where there was no crowd control. They were practically on our course and we like had nowhere to run. So that was pretty tough. It kind of slowed me down a little bit, but again, at the same time, they were there cheering for us, and
right,
just the emotions were kicking in that final mile. I probably cried like the final mile up into the finish line.
Right,
just turning that corner, you see, you know, your last, you know, 400 meters to go, and you have the bleachers and the stands and all that, and it's just the setup and experience to finally be there after watching it, you know. Practically my entire childhood, I was always into watching the marathon, wasn't into running or anything like that in the past, but watching it, I was like, yeah, one day I'm going to do that. And to actually be there and just be part of it was just amazing. It was just so emotional.
That's so cool that it came so full circle for you, that you were watching it as a kid and then you got to actually experience it as an adult.
Yeah.
That's
I always
just
said
so cool.
I was going to do it. And I'm like, you know, it's one of those things you say you're going to do, but you don't really think you're going to do it.
Yeah.
But this time I'm like, you know, I'm not getting any younger. I'm signing up, whether it's going to be charity or not. You know, I'm getting there somehow and made it happen.
Yeah. Yeah. Gosh, that's so cool. So that was your second marathon. And then you ran another local one after that. So I guess before we get there, besides, you know, we talked about shoes, we talked about a couple of different strategies, but what did the second one teach you that maybe the first one didn't?
Going easy, just going out easy the entire time. Really, that's probably the main thing. I know you said that besides the shoes, but surely the shoes.
Yeah, yeah.
That helped me. You know, the recovery definitely helped me. Between that, not getting injured, the next time around, I took 3 days off after New York, and then that Thursday started running, and I haven't stopped since. So the first one, I kind of fell out of it a little bit, but it was mostly because of the injury. But this time around, I'm like, I'm not stopping. I'm going to keep going. And then it just somehow formed a streak. You know, I was like 6 days in, wasn't trying, and just continued to happen.
Yeah. Well, you said it a couple times now that the go easy strategy was what kept you with it. I'm sure that's what helped a lot with the consistency too, is you're just being a little less harsh on your body. Mm-hmm. You can keep up with it. Yeah,
you definitely can. You know, if you're going out easy every single run, you can go as far as you want. You know, I'm looking to get into ultras next, you know, a 50K, maybe a 50 miler. And, you know, the running joke is, you know, they're not really running, you know, ultra runners and trail runners, you're not really running and stuff.
Yeah.
But, you know, they're taking it easy. Look at anyone, you know, out there that's a professional, you know, ultra runner. You know, they're doing 12, 13 minute miles. Some are doing 14. You know, when you're going that long distance, you have to. No one can sustain a marathon pace for 50 to 100 miles. So easy, you know, if you're going easy, you're going to win that race.
Right. Is that what interests you in ultra for the most part? It kind of gives you permission to take it easy compared to the road running space.
Yeah, I'm honest with myself. I'm never going to be fast. Fastest I'll probably get is what I did in New York or even the Tobacco Road marathon that I just did. That'll probably be my fastest. I will never get to like that 4:30 range. I'm short. short legs, just not fast. I'm overweight for my height. So it's not gonna happen. And I'm fine with it. I'm okay. I'm sure people are like, "Oh, you're being lazy. You can push yourself." I'm happy with it. I don't look to want to do a 4:30 or a sub 4 hour, because I know at that pace, I'm not gonna enjoy it. It's gonna be a struggle, and not just sound lazy, but it's just not gonna be happy. You're gonna hate it. So go in at that slow, easy pace. It's enjoyable. You enjoy what you're doing, and it doesn't even feel like you're running.
Well, like you said, or like we said earlier too, that everybody's goals are different. So if you're, why would you make yourself unhappy running if you're already happy doing what you're doing, definitely. So you ran your third one in Durham. We don't have to kind of break it down the whole thing like we've done the other two, but what did anything change for you on that one, or anything notable from the third one that was different from the first or the second?
It was a very flat course.
That helps.
Yes, yeah, very. It was the flattest marathon of the three. That
Cool.
helped drastically. So that and carrying water with my on myself that time, helped. It wasn't stopping at every single aid station. I had water to hydrate. So that definitely cut down the time drastically. But yeah, just having the flat course was definitely welcomed.
I'm sure. After, especially after New York being your last one, I'm sure that was a nice gift to have, be on a
Yeah,
flatter course.
it
Did you
was
carry water on your back, or did you do like a handheld
just
water
handheld.
bottle?
Yeah, it had two handhelds with me. I was able to fit it in my pocket for one of them, and I
Nice.
had a handheld in the other one. So that definitely helped, cut down the time. Usually when you're stopping and you're waiting, sometimes you got to wait to get your water cup if there's a crowd around. So that, I think, was a strategy going in. I'm like, "Hey, I'm going to try to beat my New York City time. When I got the flat course, what else can I do to decrease the time?" And carrying something on me definitely helped.
And just having more control over your, I carried my pack too on my marathon, and I feel like just having a little bit more control over when you can take in water and when you can take in water and when not to, is helpful just to have that control for sure. Cool. Well, that thank you for breaking down those three experiences. They were all kind of unique in their own way, which is really cool.
Yes. Yeah, they were.
So what do you feel like if for maybe a newer runner or somebody who's maybe got a little bit of a base thinking signing up for their first marathon, what advice would you give somebody like that?
It depends. Like I said, everyone's different. But I would say do your research. Definitely go out and try to take things easy. Don't go out too fast. Don't worry about being the fastest person out there. Take it easy. And invest in his shoes. I definitely would, if you're gonna get into half marathons at least, invest in a good pair of shoes. Like I said, I would literally not be able to walk up and down the stairs during my first race. That whole training block, it was that bad. And the second time, I was fine, no pain at all. And I really truly believe it was because of the shoes. And just that support I had with those shoes helped me greatly.
Huge difference. Cool. That's great advice. So fuel, these are a couple questions I've been asking at the end just to kind of collect some data. I always say disclaimer, like we've said a couple of times already, it's your journey. Do what's best for you. Do trial and error. But what are your go-to for fuel now that you really like?
I'm really big into Element. I mostly used Noon last year in the summer, and then I got into Element. Just more sodium. And at first it's very salty. At first you're like, "Whoa,
You
it
got to
hits
get
you."
used to it.
But I actually that I noticed, especially in the summers when it's really hot and humid, that I would definitely feel like I can go longer when I was drinking that. That definitely was very helpful. The hydration, anything, you just definitely gotta hydrate. In the summers, even in the winter, you can still cramp up. So definitely Element has been a really good goos gels. I'm not too big into it. I'll take them, on race day, but I don't think I really am at the point where I feel like I need it when I'm out there doing my training runs. I'm still able to go out there, and maybe it's my diet, throughout the week. I'm always eating, heavy carb meals throughout the week. So I think it's probably my diet where I don't need the gels for my runs.
That makes sense. Yeah. You got to listen to your body at the end of the day. You can overdo it too really easily. So I would say just like good advice for new runners. Don't feel like you need to buy into the gel space. Like you said, it just, whatever's working for you is totally, totally fine.
Oh yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, definitely.
Cool.
Trial, I would say trial and error, you know, go out there, try some things, you know, everyone's got their videos on what they do, or they'll be the ambassadors for some of these companies. Do you know, try it out. If it doesn't work, try something else.
Yeah.
Because what works for them is not going to, you know, work for you.
Yeah. And you got to be careful with the ambassador stuff, because people will say they like something and they've never tried it before.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They just want the free products.
Exactly. Yep. Yep. So you mentioned shoes quite a bit. I'm curious, what are your go-tos now for shoes? You said you were a big New Balance fan. What styles are your favorite?
Yeah. Heavy. Love the Elites, the V4s that came out. Loving those. I had the first ones, but the threes. I ran New York City in those, and now I ended up, when the new ones came out, the V4s, purchased those. 250, definitely worth it. You know, I would never have done something like that in the past. I wouldn't even spend 150 in the past. You know, I would stick at like maybe 100. So definitely, those are my go-to shoes, and I can't wait for the trainers, the Super Comp trainers that come out, the new ones. I think they're coming out in June.
Cool.
Those as well. I had those for the fall training that I did last year. I bought them in, actually no, I bought them in July last year. So I actually trained throughout the entire summer in those. They're just amazing. But again, for me, for my feet, I need a wide shoe and all that. It's just helpful for me.
For sure. For sure. That's cool. So last couple questions are, you mentioned we've mentioned a couple times, you've got this run streak going on, that you're almost to day 200, which is awesome. What else is on the calendar for you for this year?
Nothing yet. I did put on for a wait list. There is a 47 mile through Pinellas Park Trail, they call it. I think it's Pinellas Trail Challenge.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm on the waiting list. That is, I think it's September or October 30th in the Tampa area.
Mm-hmm.
So if I get that, might do that. Still thinking about it. So I'm on the wait list. I don't have to sign up. I'm just on the wait list.
Cool.
But if you think about the heat in Tampa area that time of year,
brutal.
That's worse than the humidity is, you know, that's worse than here.
Yeah.
So still thinking about it. But definitely want to do at least a 50K and then a 50 miler at some point before the end of the year. I haven't chosen which one I want to do yet, but I will be. Definitely
cool.
Will be. Yes. Signing up soon. And then I'm still debating if I want to do City of Oaks. Got a like redemption race.
Yeah.
You know, I was 5 hours and 40 minutes that first one. So I got to get, you know, I'm not competitive with myself, you know, caring about time anymore. But if I am, I will be for that one. You know, I definitely want to get sub five for that, because that race beat me up. City Oaks was tough. That took a lot out of me. So I'm going to beat it up this time.
There you go.
So maybe
there
I'll do that in November.
Yeah. It's that hometown race that you got to come back to and master for sure.
Uh-huh.
Well, if you do it, let me know, because I'll be there as well.
Yes.
We can,
awesome.
We can go through it together.
Yeah. I want to go back to New York also and just be a spectator and be part of the crowd. But I don't know if I want to travel. So if I don't do that this year, I'm definitely sign up for City of Oaks for sure.
Cool. Looking forward to seeing what you decide there.
Definitely, I'll let you know.
Cool. Yeah. Last question is just, where can we find you? And anything else you wanna plug?
I'm actively, you know, online here on Instagram, 20RunsNC. You can find me on there. Running throughout North Carolina. Mostly in Wake County, Johnston County area. I'll be out there running.
Cool. And I'll plug your Instagram handle in the show notes for sure, so people can find you there. But really appreciate you walking us through your marathon experience. That was really great to see. And appreciate you coming on and talking to me.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course. All right, I'll talk to you soon.
Awesome.
Appreciate it.
Have a good one.
You too.